Well, a very warm welcome to everybody as we're just finding our seats and settling down. Welcome this morning to Sandbach Baptist Church. Everyone is welcome. We're going to have a time of worship where we sing a few hymns and songs. Dennis Smith, a longtime friend of this fellowship, will be speaking to us a little bit later on. And at about halfway through, the little ones will go out for the Sunday school. And I'm hoping that there will be tea and coffee served after the service. So please do stay and make yourselves at home. We're going to begin our worship by singing that well-known hymn, O Come, All Ye Faithful. We're in Advent now, and Advent is all about looking forward to Christmas and preparing to celebrate the coming of Jesus. And this is a great song that expresses our desire to see Jesus come and for us to come together and worship him. Please stand if you're able. Please sit if you prefer. O come, all ye faithful. Please sit down. Well, I've mentioned that we're in Advent, and this is the second Sunday of Advent, and we have our four candles at the front. I could just do with somebody to come and light a candle. So as we go through Advent, the four candles traditionally represent hope, joy, peace, and love. And many of you will recognize that those are parts of the fruit of the Spirit, that we are all supposed to show in our lives as we let God work in us and make us a little bit more like him. A little bit later on, we're going to be having a reading from Colossians 1. Don't put it on the screen just yet. We're going to assemble the words. Just as we rearranged a verse last week, I'm going to need lots of volunteers for this one. So I need people to come, and perhaps people to come with smaller people. And we need a nice big line of people across here. And I'm going to dish out some. There we are. You hold that. Hold it up. We're going to need more people than this. I'm going to start giving them out otherwise. That's it, thank you. Vera needs one of us. Right. Now the congregation needs to rearrange everybody so that this verse makes sense. So Brendan, you need to stand on your head. No, that's right. I can see somebody's in the right place. Who's in the right place? Susie. Right. Susie's always in the right place. Brendan, go and stand next to Susie. That's a good start. Yes. Would you like to come across to this end? You come and stand here. Excellent. Very good. Hold it up nice and high. Right. I think Dennis is in the right place as well. So we've got the sun. Jill, would you like to come to in front of the candles? The sun is. We need a the. Okay. Image. Come image next after the, please. So would you two like to spot places? Right. Of. I think we're missing another the. Has anybody got a double the? I've lost a the. I do apologise. Never mind. We can imagine the.
Image of God invisible.
Okay, we found another the. We're recycling this one. You'll have to have another the. Right, so of the invisible God. Excellent. Let's all hold it up and we're going to read it out. So let's all say together, the Son is the image of the invisible God. Colossians 1, verse 15. Susie, turn yours over so we can't see it. And we'll all say it again. The Son is the image of the invisible God. Colossians 1, verse 15. Lynn, thank you. Turn yours over. And again, the Son is the image of the invisible God. Colossians 1, verse 15. Everybody, put your sheets down. And one last time together. The Son is the image of the invisible God. Colossians 1, verse 15. And a round of applause for all our helpers. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
So as we come towards Christmas and we're going to be doing a lot of celebrating, let's lift our hearts as we just say some very, very simple prayers of thanksgiving. And anybody can join in, but very short and simple, please. Just think of something to say thank you for. So let's just bow our heads. Thank you, Lord, that you love each one of us. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for Jesus.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you that you never leave us or forsake us.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Stay in an attitude of prayer as we sing this song, please. Continue by singing Faithful One, and do stand if you wish on this one.
Unchanging, faithful.
Leave me that last chorus on the words, please, if you would, Darren. Do take a seat. Just conscious that sometimes life really can feel a bit like a storm. And just to know that Jesus is our rock of peace is fantastic. And the words a little bit later on than that said, "You pick me up when I fall down." And if there's anybody that feels they need to be picked up by God today, just please embrace that truth. He is there for us, and we are here for each other too. And God's love is indeed the anchor in our lives. Bernie, I think, and Freya on her own, right? They've organised the reading for us this morning, which begins with the verse that we've already read, but we're having Colossians 1, verses 15 to 23.
Can you hold that? Okay. Is it on?
Yeah.
The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all the creation, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, all through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, in which I, Paul, have become a servant.
Exalted, the King is exalted, and I will praise him. He is
Lord's exalted forever, exalted and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His throne shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted. Exalted, for King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted forever, exalted.
During our next song, we're going to take up our offering. The offering is for regulars here, so if you're a visitor, please just let the bags pass by. And the little boxes are for the children that we support overseas.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I fall, my hope is only Jesus, for the light is holy and in His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can think all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. Oh, by my side, the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need, His power is displayed. In this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley He will lead. All the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dare, I know I am forgiven. The future's strong, the price has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever must defeat. All the chains are released. I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath I long to follow Jesus, for He has said that He will bring me home. And day by day I know Him
Father, we thank you for all that we have because we know that it comes from you. And we pray that these gifts may be tokens of our love and that they may be used wisely and in your service and for the blessing of many. And we ask a special blessing now on the children and the young people and their teachers as they go out to continue to praise you and to learn about you elsewhere in this building. Please be with them and may they have an absolutely lovely time. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayers of intercession now. Largely, this will be a time between you and God. See what God lays on your heart. Please just pray silently. I will just put one or two phrases in, perhaps to guide our thoughts. Let's just bow our heads. And perhaps this morning we could just start by thinking of Danny and the Chong family. Danny's having to go out to Singapore. His father is very poorly. And we commend them into God's hands. And just in the quietness, let's just mention before God all those who are dear to us who are struggling at this time. And two, let's lay the cares of the world on God's shoulders. There's so much going on, it's too much for us to bear. But God is sovereign. We just think of different situations around the world and ask that God will work his purposes and his peace. Let's remember before the Lord all those who work for peace and who work to bring aid to those who are suffering. And in our own country, those who work for fairness and justice. And for ourselves in this town, help us, Lord, to shine our light that little bit brighter. Help us to show something of your love to those around us. Help us to see the needs around us and to be prompted by your love. Forgive us when we get it wrong, Lord. But as we've already sung, thank you that you are a God who loves to pick us up and give us another chance. And may we, at your prompting, be people who build others up. May we shine your light this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Old Testament reading is the first chapter of the book of Ruth. Which I have to find. Ruth chapter 1. This is obviously a special Bible that doesn't have the book of Ruth in it. Let me try again. I've been organised, I would have had this bookmarked before coming. It was after the book of Judges last time I looked. Here we are. So Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab, and they lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other named Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years. Both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living, and she set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as if you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again, and then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and to her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. I'm going to invite Dennis to come up now. He's going to be speaking to us about drawing close to God. And Dennis, you have been, I'll come over to the middle. You have been a long-time friend of this church, a member in the early days, and you have been working as a volunteer with Good News for Everyone, which I think a lot of people would hear would remember more as the Gideons.
That's right.
Is that correct?
That
yes.
Is, yes.
Yes. I will pray for Dennis, and we will enjoy God's word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Dennis and for his family, and we pray a special blessing on them this morning. And please may his words be your words as you speak to us now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Howard, and thank you, church, for inviting me to speak again today. It's a real honour, a privilege, and a pleasure. And it's lovely to see people that I've known for many, many years, but it's wonderful also to see some of you who I've never seen before. So I'm really glad that I've had the opportunity to meet you too. Well, as Howard rightly said, I've been a member of Gideon's, and now more recently it's called Good News for Everyone, for quite some years, nearly 20 years, but I could have even joined in 1978 when I was first invited. It took me quite a while to get beyond the point where I was saying to them, look, I'm sorry, I'm so busy, I can't be at a school assembly at 9 o'clock because I'm working, I'm doing X or I'm doing Y. But there are some of our members in the South Cheshire branch who have been in our branch as members for just under 50 years, one of whom is Steve Hodgkinson from Congleton, who is going to come and speak here on the 1st of March. So thank you for inviting us as a branch twice in less than 6 months. And Steve is looking forward to that. And I hope I'll be with him on that occasion. And Helen, my wife, too. She was going to come today, but she had a sleepless night. But she sent her good wishes, but she was half asleep and I just left her in bed. So, she does send her love and good wishes to you all. Now, as far as Good News for Everyone is concerned, we do have a national network of branches, and we also work overseas, particularly more recently with an organisation called Share Word Global. Now, that means, therefore, that people in the UK have an opportunity to go and present God's word and our materials literally all around the world. And I will be commenting about some of those visits shortly. But you'll probably remember having your Gideon's New Testament given to you at school. How many people receive one at school? Just put your hand up. That's not literally everybody, but it's almost everybody. So thank you for that. And that is the reaction that we get if we go to the schools locally amongst the teachers. In fact, some head teachers especially are really keen to tell all of the youngsters who are about to receive their little red book that, you know, I received mine many years ago. They never state what year it was, understandably. But they are keen to let them know. And some staff, particularly those that actually go out of their way to thank us for going into their schools and presenting the New Testament each year, continue to tell me and my colleagues just how much it has been important for them to keep hold of that little red book. And they all recount times of their life when they've opened it and found it's a blessing. Now, I just want to very briefly go through a few of the witness statements, testimonies, that appear on the Good News for Everyone website at the moment. All you've got to do is key in Good News for Everyone. It comes up, and then along the top is the bar, halfway along, Impact. So click on Impact, and you find these stories. So I'm just giving you a snippet from lots of stories. There are about 23 on, I think, usually, 23 to 25. So Scott, who is a young man living somewhere in the south of England, in his 20s, I think, is now about to become an international missionary. But he was given his Gideon New Testament probably at least 15 years ago when he was at school. And he was brought up in a Christian family, so it was seen as an important step in, you know, his life to receive this, his own personal copy of the New Testament and Psalms. They now have Proverbs in as well. But after going to college, life took on a bit of a different complexion. He became, he says, very materialistic. He thought that there were things in life that were really, really important, like making money, doing well in your career, and so on and so forth. So he really sort of got sidetracked and so forth. But he has come back to his senses, as I might put it, and he's now going to become a missionary. And he cites the reading again of God's word given to him by the Gideons some years ago as impactful to him in this process in his life. Then there is Sophie, who was brought up in a family of atheists. When she was given her little red book, she hid it from her parents because she was fearful of what on earth they would say or what they would do. So not only did they not see this as precious, but they would be angry. Nevertheless, somehow or other, God planted a seed in Sophie's heart, a seed that made her realize how precious this book actually was or is. And through that hunger, and really she was hungry with anything to do with Christianity, which is, again, something marvelous, something of the Holy Spirit, something not of, you know, the rest of her life. It stands out, doesn't it, for that to have the sort of impact that I describe. And now she is completing theology studies in the Sussex Gospel Partnership. We often feel immensely privileged and blessed when we see the impact by simply giving God's word into people's hands. I went along to present the good news to St. Thomas More Catholic School in Crewe a few weeks ago, and they make a special effort on that particular day. It's the day when all the pupils realize how special the Bible is. That's the impact, that's the theme. But one young man came up to me, obviously 11 years of age or thereabouts, and he said, "Thank you for this. I know why it is special. I didn't need to be told by my teachers today." How wonderful, really wonderful, that there is a seed in the lad's heart, and presumably from other aspects in his family, I guess. I didn't have a chance to explore it even further, but that really blessed me. And there are plenty of people who are chaplains, people who remark on, and have done for many, many years, on the Good News for Everyone website about stories in prisons. Prisoners who have been set free from all the things that have really, really dogged their lives because of reading God's word and had it encouraged through Bible study with the chaplains. But one thing that has struck me recently is four chaplains have talked about how using God's word and giving out the materials from Good News for Everyone has helped to calm prisoners in the midst of what has become a very difficult situation, far more difficult than perhaps for many, many years, in those prisons in which they are chaplains. So God again is doing something marvellously in that process, calming people, using his word to bring peace. I mean, we speak perhaps glibly about peace and love and hope and so on, but these are real. These are God-given. They are the fruit of the Spirit, as Howard rightly said, but these are the attributes of God, the grace, the peace, the hope, the joy, are they not? I'm sure you agree. And then, of course, we have had for probably about 20 years now the opportunity to give what we call badged testaments. These are the usual sort of Gideon materials, but they have the badge of an organization. So 20 years ago, almost, we started badging some Cheshire police scriptures, and with the help of a chap who is and has been for many, many years the chair of the Cheshire Christian Police Association, I have to say that slowly, Simon Treaton, more and more police officers in Cheshire have received this badged version. It's a black copy with a gold badge on the front, and we have had feedback. I was at a church in Crewe, and a policeman was one of the congregation there, and he remarked how important it was amongst his colleagues to have God's word and to have that section at the beginning, which we call the helps section. And he's referred to that, and he's helped others to refer to that when they've needed to. During the pandemic, I was pleased that we took some what we call Hope magazines. These are glossy magazines with lots and lots of pictures. Maybe you've seen them. And lovely scriptures. It's a really high-class publication. But beyond the high class, it has had tremendous impact. And we're hoping to give loads and loads and loads of these out as we plan what we call a scripture focus on South Cheshire in April next year. And I'll say a little bit more about that later. But during the pandemic, I took these to various sheltered accommodations in Sandbach. Particularly, feedback was marvellous from the one in Wheelock, next to just up from the school. And the manager there, she said, all the residents have thought this is marvellous. You know, they're feeling very hemmed in by the pandemic, but the fact that they've been able to have this glossy document with these wonderful scriptures has really blessed all of them, whether they go to church or not. Everybody's commented. So again, that really has been very impactful. Steve Hodgkinson and other churches, Steve in New Life Church, Congleton, gives out the Hope Gospel and the Gideon Bibles to everybody on the Alpha courses. And I know they've done that in many other churches as well. The food banks, we supply Sandbach Food Bank and keep them topped up so people don't have to have a scripture, but they're offered it. And many do take it up. So again, the word is going out and it's having impact and people are commenting and praising God through it. I don't know whether you remember a fellow called Peter Seabrook. He was a gardening editor for a newspaper. I can't remember which one, maybe The Sun. something everybody at that time would read gardening things in as well as everything else. But he was a BBC presenter, and he became a Christian very largely through reading a Gideon Bible. And he commented before he gave the sort of inspiration to a fellow Gideon that he says, life often gets tough, as Howard was remarking. We go through all manner of seasons in our life, but he says, whenever life gets tough, he always finds God's word an inspiration. And that's what I'm sure many, many people would attest to as well. Now, I mentioned the scriptures going abroad. Well, recently, some of the good news for everyone from the UK went to Chile. And they went to all sorts of different places in and around the capital. And they went to a hospital. And they presented not only to nurses and to managers at the hospital and to people who were patients in the hospital, but they also presented one to a cleaner. And the cleaner's remark was, thank you so much for giving this to me, because usually I am overlooked by everyone. But you have not overlooked me. You've given it to me. And I started to read it. And it's really, really wonderful. I've now received Jesus into my life because I've completed the bit at the back of the book that gave me the opportunity to do so. So at last, she knows God's love. She understands God's purpose, and she has hope in her life. Nobody should ever be overlooked, and God does never overlook anybody. It goes on and on, as I say, on the website with story after story, which again, I think, shows God's grace in all sorts of circumstances. And Phil Howell, who is the pastor of the Hope Church in Crewe, and two of our group of members there, he has for some years been the chaplain to Crewe Alex Football Club. And so they have a badged testament. It's red, as in the club colours, with a gold badge on it. And it's presented to players and directors of the club and other officials. And Phil says that this brings hope, comfort and peace. Sometimes when people realise that not only is life fragile to some, but also the future seems uncertain. And it's important when sometimes what's coming next in your life can be confusing. I know that because when Dario Gradi first became manager at Crewe and I was working at South Cheshire College in the 1980s, Dario called me at the college to come and talk to the players about what they should do next after they'd finished playing football. And I had the privilege of going down and speaking to the first team and setting up some training courses and so on. But one of those lads became a Christian. And there were others in the group that included David Platt, who played for England, Dave Puller, others. They were all students and on a course that I taught at South Cheshire. So I've had the privilege of seeing Crewe Alex in all its ups and downs and watching it on the news in so many different ways. But Phil is doing a marvellous work as chaplain at the club. And one of our other members, Joseph Bhaskarapandian, many of you who perhaps met the Bhaskarapandians at West Street in Crewe, he is part of the chaplaincy of Leighton Hospital. And he said to me a few weeks ago, more and more people, nurses especially, are coming into the chapel to pray before their shifts. So all the material that we give to the chaplaincy, and it's given out, again, is blessing people. So that's just a snippet of what I just want to share with you. Now, I want to move on to look at the scriptures that we've been well read for us today. And well done, Freya, particularly when she read that, and Howard, who read it without his glasses on. More than I could do. But this is a time of Advent. It's the time when we can prepare ourselves to remember the importance of the birth of Jesus. And last night I noticed that the Christmas tree lights have switched on in Bethlehem for the first time in 2 years. And Bethlehem is certainly a place that is vastly under siege. Helen and I went there in 2010, and yeah, it was obvious what Bethlehem is like. It's not the picture postcard sort of idyllic little place that some people might think on a Christmas card. It's in a very difficult and fragile circumstance. But, you know, praise the Lord that order is seemingly being restored a bit at this Christmas time. Now, in James in chapter 4, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And I think we can see some evidence from what I've commented about the testimonies of how God has drawn near to people when they have had an interest or a willingness to listen or a desire, or even in the case of Sophie, the girl that I remarked about, a hunger for the things of God and for Christianity. I have the privilege of working with lots of different colleges. I still run my consultancy business. I have two private colleges in London that I've been working as a consultant for over 15 years. And I've also been involved in doing some consultancy for the Sikh Association in Soho Road in Birmingham. And I'm part of their apprenticeship programme on the board. And at the end of every meeting, they invite me to pray. They know I'm a Christian, but there they are, all with their turbans and long beards and so on. And this is done via Zoom. So when Helen looks at it, she goes, oh, who were they? But you know, they're lovely, honourable people, and they've invited me to be helping them and working with them. But every time they ask me to pray, so I count that as a privilege. I count that as an opportunity to just tell, even through my prayer, of the goodness that is in the Lord, the goodness of God our Saviour, the goodness that is in his word. And thank him for his word to us. Now, as far as Colossians chapter 1 is concerned, it did remind us of the sovereignty of Jesus, the importance of Jesus, the image of the invisible God, as we saw earlier on. Jesus is the likeness of God. He's made God real to us. He's brought the Godhead into our humanity, into our very being, into our lives and the lives of everybody across the whole of the world, whatever their background, whatever their religion. You know, the Sikhs know of Jesus. They realize what Jesus had done. They recount his workings to me, which is interesting. One of the things that I think is absolutely remarkable is that when you're a Christian, you're able to say, but my God has not only been born, he was crucified, he died, he rose again, and he has ascended into heaven and is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I. Holy God, but also a man. There is a man sitting next to God, the Father, interceding for you and I. But he is also, and ever has been, through creation, God. That is unique. No other faith, no other part of civilization can make that claim. Only Christians, only people who know Jesus and realize what he's done. And as we sang that beautiful song, that wonderful song, What Gift of Grace, it was written a few years ago by some Australians, I think, City Alight in Sydney. Beautiful words, you know, to this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. In Jesus we are whole. In Jesus we have our life, our being, our future, our eternity. Praise God. Praise God. So what draws people near to God? Well, I think the realization of what he's done, first and foremost, must be up there. I think it's also important to realize that his word is not just a book, but it's special. It speaks. It has impact. I went to Eton Bank School in Congleton with Steve last April, and we'll be going, well, in fact, Steve's just been, I missed out on that one again, sorry. And it was National Book Day. So the head teacher, Ed O'Neill, at Eton Bank School, or Eton Bank Academy, I should say, was dressed in Star Wars gear with a lightsaber. Head teacher greeting us with that. very odd. But we had the opportunity to give out the book, not just a book, not Christmas Carol or whatever else people might be reading at this moment in time, but the book. And he gave us a great opportunity to talk about the special position that the Bible holds in the books of the world. And his wife is head teacher, Ed's wife is head teacher at Allsager School, and we have now been invited to go to Allsager for the first time in years. Because for many years they said, we're a multi-faith school, so if we let the Christians in, we'd have to let everybody else in. But we've prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed and we've persisted. And one thing that's good about the Gideon, the Good News Fellowship, they are real staunch prayers. Never, ever give up. They're people with great maturity. It's wonderful fellowship from all sorts of churches around Congleton, Nantwich, Crewe, Sandbach, Allsager, and so forth. But, you know, we praise God for the opportunity to present the news into Allsager School. So what else draws people other than the special nature of the word? Well, often it's an emergency, sometimes an illness, sometimes a sense of loss of something or loneliness. Sometimes it's guilt or depression. Sometimes it's desire or intrigue. There are many reasons why we can be drawn to God. Some people are drawn to God, but they don't really know who he is. And so the Bible tells us just who he is, full of grace, full of love, came to this earth, did what he did, and he is who he is. And when they realize that, I pray that in their need, that God's power will be very, very clear to them. And that's when we get the testimonies like the ones that I mentioned. So how do we draw near to God? Well, it also says in Hebrews chapter 10, with a sincere heart. And the other day, literally this week, I read of a story in the Gideon newsletter, and it said that one of the members of the Good News Fellowship had been into a cafe. Obviously, I think with somebody else, because they'd ordered two teas. Mind you, some people do order two teas, even if they're on their own. But ordered two teas, and the waitress came over, and this is what the waitress has written to our national office. I was working one day, going through a rough time, when I served this wonderful gentleman. I never forget how he asked for two English breakfast teas. I remember him being such a kind soul. As I returned with his tea and was out to tell him a bit about my rough day, out of kindness, he handed me a Bible and asked, "Would you like one of these?" I was shocked. It wasn't a bad feeling, but it was a shocking feeling. I said, "Yes," and he smiled, and I thanked him. I turned around, stunned and shocked, as I felt like I needed this Bible that he'd given me. I don't know why, but I knew I needed it. "Thank you so much." I went looking for him, but I couldn't then find him. "Tomorrow I will step into a church for the first time in my life. I would like to thank this kind and gentle soul that has opened my eyes to the truth and has changed my life." Wow. Hallelujah. At least, you know, the person took the trouble to actually let the National Office know of what had happened. But that can only be God, can't it? You know, it's miraculous. It's out of this world, in a sense. It's supernatural, the impact that God has brought there. So as we seek for him, surely with a sincere heart, surely with an intent to realize that this is important, we will find him. We'll find his character. We'll find his identity. And sure enough, it does change people's lives. It draws our attention to our needs and our circumstances. It helps us to see possible solutions for issues that are happening in our life and problems. It reveals sometimes when we're speaking to others that they too have experienced God in all sorts of different ways and at different times. They found peace. They found the power of God at work in their lives. There are certain characters, and I'm nearly finished now, in the Old Testament that I absolutely love, and Ruth is one of them. Joseph, likewise, Elijah, you could reel them off. What is there about the story of Ruth, in addition to what we've read from chapter 1? She went to another country, she married, she had a mother-in-law, and she told the mother-in-law, as we've read in chapter 1, that she was sticking with her, and she was being faithful, and her people would be her people, and her God would be her God, and that faithfulness and that loyalty shines out from what we've read. But what went on in the story? Can anybody tell me what the ending has been? Anything about Ruth that you can tell me beyond what we've already seen?
She met a bloke.
She met a bloke called?
Boaz.
Boaz. Got married. Where was she when they met? In the fields.
Gleaning.
So there it was, a rural setting. She met Boaz. He was quite a rich man, so he was able to look after her and so on. But which fields are these? Is there anything else that happened in those fields, those very same fields in the Bible? Yes, he did. That's part of the story. These fields are the very, very same one that the shepherds were in when the angel Gabriel came to them. And if you go to those fields now, it tells you, you know, these are the fields of Ruth and Boaz. These are the fields of the shepherds. There is a special church just on the top, and then the sort of fields roll down. And it gives this wonderful vista. It's like being on the Bosley Cloud looking across the Cheshire Plain. If you're going to see a star, you'd see it there. If you're going to see angels, you'd see them there. It's like an open window in front of you. And we know there's something else important about Ruth and Boaz in the lineage of Jesus. Very pivotal to see that God blessed Ruth through her faithfulness. Boaz took care of her. And then through the lineage, we see that Jesus was a descendant of Ruth and Boaz. But it's Ruth's faithfulness that I want to hold on to. It's her willingness to go to the place where she felt God was sending her, the place where she wanted to be loyal, the place where she wanted to be faithful. And whatever we do in our lives, I do believe that when we realize what Jesus has done for us, we need to say, Jesus, I am yours. You know, I hold on to you because you hold on to me. And at Christmas, we have this golden opportunity to bring this unique message, this unique hope, this unique peace through the story, through the synergy. I love the synergy of the Bible, how, you know, nothing is haphazard. And when I look back on my life, I think, well, God, you know, I didn't really realize what was happening there, but I do now. And I praise you because in that there was blessing. In that there was teaching. In that I learned something. Let us constantly be teachable. Let us constantly appreciate one another, but appreciate what God has done for us, because he does draw us. We are his people. We praise God that we are the people like, I sense, the people that Joseph had around him. You know, Joseph was sold by his brothers. Can you imagine ever being sold by your brother into slavery? And yet he was given a position of authority in the life of Potiphar, the Pharaoh, and so on. And he was able to bring his people, the Hebrews, to a place of safety. The Bible calls it the land of Goshen in Exodus chapter 8, I think it is. You know, we are the people who live in a land of Goshen, place of safety, as we shelter under Jesus's wings. We are people who are set apart to tell of the glory of God and to tell of his goodness. And as a Gideon, now member of Good News for Everyone, it is a privilege to be part of that opportunity. We really would love to have more members. We are grateful to this church, especially for friends of the branch and for the way you support the branch, and you provide financially continually and have done for years. And so we do thank other churches around in a similar way. So what in April we're going to hope to do is to give out more and more scriptures, focus on maybe care homes, people who are vulnerable, people who don't go to church. And we're going to set up a steering group in the new year of people from churches and so on. I'm even wanting to involve county councillors in this. This is the first for Good News for Everyone. They don't bother getting the council involved, but why not? Let's get the community involved fully, because God's word is important. So a lot to look forward to in the next year. And Steve will tell you a bit more and on the 1st of March. But thank you so much for your support for Good News. But praise the Lord. Of this I hold, he is my future, he's our future, and he is our eternal God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Howard.
So thank you, Dennis, for such an encouraging word there. And our closing hymn continues that theme, saying, "Be thou my vision." God needs to be at the centre of all that we are. So let's stand if you're able, and let's sing together.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. No fear holds to me.
Let's share the grace with each other. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
To you we bless you now in the bless you now in the name of the Prince of Peace. Peace to you. Peace to you. We bless you now in the name of the Prince of Peace. Peace to you. You know in the name of the Prince of Peace. Peace to you. Peace to you. Peace to you.